Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.
Murder in the morning from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Trial of Karen Reed, week two wrapped up, and we're going to take a little look back at some of the testimony that took place in the trial as it continues to move on. Day eight, new testimony shed light on the intricate details of the night Boston police officer John O'Keefe was found dead. On Thursday, close acquaintances of both Reed and O'Keefe, including Chris and Julie Elbert, provided crucial insights into the events surrounding O'Keefe's untimely death during a blizzard in January of 2022. And we're going to hear some phone calls of Julie Elbert and Courtney Proctor in just a few seconds, so stick around. Karen Reed of Mansfield, of course, faces second-degree murder charges in the case that's captivated the public attention due to its dramatic developments and complex witness dynamics. The Elberts, residents of Canton and neighbors of O'Keefe, were amongst the last to see the couple before O'Keefe's body was discovered near the Elbert family home. And during her testimony, Julie Elbert addressed the defense's accusations of her frequent communications with Trooper Michael Proctor's sister, Courtney, who was also a friend of Julie. Despite admitting to the numerous calls, Julie Elbert insisted these interactions were unrelated to the ongoing investigation of Reed. Quote, "I don't deny it, but I don't remember the exact amount," Julie responded when pressed about the 67 calls documented between her and Courtney Proctor. Let's take a listen to that testimony.
How would you define very?
Well, I guess I'd ask you to define very close. Do you deny that you were very close with Courtney Proctor?
No.
Objection, Your Honor.
No, go ahead. Next question. You got your answer.
I didn't hear the answer.
Go ahead. Repeat that.
Do you deny that you were very close with Courtney Proctor?
No.
Okay. You talk regularly, correct?
Yes.
You text each other, correct?
Yes.
You also talk by phone?
Very rarely.
Did you say very rarely you talk
phone, to usually, Proctor by usually phone? It's text.
But do you stand by that testimony that you talk to Courtney Proctor very rarely by phone?
Do we have a time frame? Do you mean now or do you mean then?
Let me ask you this. Between February 1st of 2022 and September 6th of 2022, did you only speak rarely with Courtney Proctor?
I don't recall.
Were you using Courtney Proctor as an intermediary to communicate with Michael Proctor about this case?
Objection.
I'll allow it.
No, I was not.
Are you aware that between February 1st of 2022 and September 6th of 2022, you and Courtney Proctor spoke by phone 67 times?
Objection.
Were you aware of that?
No, I don't know the exact count.
Do you deny that you spoke 67 times?
I don't deny it, but I don't recall the exact amount of times.
Okay, so you don't deny that you spoke 67 times, you still want to maintain your testimony that you only talked very rarely with Courtney Proctor during that time period?
I just don't remember the exact amount of times.
Well, you know that my client, Karen Reed, was arrested in connection with this case on February 1st of 2022. Do you not?
I do.
You spoke to Courtney Proctor that date for 12 minutes by phone, correct?
I don't recall exactly. I don't remember exactly.
May I approach?
Sure.
Before I approach, your memory is exhausted as to whether you spoke to Courtney Proctor that day, and if so, how long the two of you spoke?
Yes.
Sure.
I like how everyone whispers.
I know. It's cool.
I'm wondering what they're whispering about.
Sure.
I'm showing you the document with a number of...
Just show it to her.
Right. No, I just wanted to point out which one that I'm pointing out. So the third... I was going to say a number of lines. The third line down, if you would take a look at that specific date and time and see if that refreshes your memory about whether and how long you spoke to Courtney Proctor on February 1st of 2022.
Can you see that or do you need glasses?
No, I can see it.
I do have a pair of readers that I need as well, if you need to borrow them.
Yes, if I could.
Of course.
Thank you. And, I left mine downstairs.
I just got these, and it's like
Mr. Unetti, just bring them up, please.
It took me a while to figure them out, but anyway.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's the third line
down. Third line down. Yes, I see it. I don't recall. There's...
Okay.
It's a long time ago. Thank you.
And you say that having seen this record, it does not refresh your memory that you spoke to Courtney Proctor for...
Don't. It does not refresh her memory. That's where you have to leave.
Okay. Did Courtney Proctor tell you the day of my client's arrest on February 1st that she had been discussing the case with her brother that day?
Objection.
Disdain.
Did you speak to Courtney Proctor that day in any fashion?
What day exactly?
The day of my client's arrest on February 1st of 2022.
That was on the sheet you just gave me?
It was.
Well, I did, obviously, if it was on that sheet.
Okay. And when you talked to her, did she tell you that she had discussed the case with her brother?
Objection.
Sustained.
Were you notified that Karen was going to be arrested?
Objection.
Sustained.
What did you discuss?
I don't recall.
The next day, February 2nd of 2022, was the day that my client was arraigned back in Stoughton District Court. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
You spoke to Courtney Proctor three times that day before my client's publicly televised arraignment at 9 a.m. Did you not?
Again, I don't remember.
After the arraignment, you spoke to her again for 27 minutes beginning at 10:58 a.m. Did you not?
I don't recall.
Okay. So... your testimony is, strike that. My client's arrest was pretty big news in Massachusetts, wasn't it?
Objection.
Sustained.
You were aware that my client had been arrested, correct?
Yes, I had seen it on the news.
You were aware that she was being arraigned the very next day, were you not?
Yes.
This case involved your family, did it not?
How do you mean it?
Well, you knew that John O'Keefe was found dead on your brother-in-law, Brian Albert's lawn, correct?
Correct.
So necessarily, your family was involved in this case, correct?
Somewhat, yes.
And you knew that ultimately you'd probably be talked to by investigators from this case, correct?
I assume so, yes.
Right. Didn't happen for 13 days, but ultimately they did come, correct?
Yes.
All right. So this case had to have been pretty big news within the Albert family, was it not?
Well, yes. Yes.
You were discussing it with your husband, correct?
Yes.
You were discussing it with your other relatives, correct?
Yes.
You were discussing it with your friends, correct?
I don't know about my friends, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it your testimony that with all of this going on, you confined your discussions about this case just to your specific family members?
Not necessarily.
No. I mean, clearly, you would have talked to Courtney Proctor about this, correct?
Objection.
Yeah, I mean, going on and on and on about the conversations and how frequently they talk. I mean, I don't know what to make of this, because it doesn't feel like anybody's really trying to hide anything. It just feels like people aren't really good on recalling life.
Well, you know, there are people that I talk to occasionally, and there's people I talk to a lot, mm-hmm. and I know I talk to them a lot.
Yeah.
And then there's some where, like, I talk to them occasionally. I would think you would recall that.
Yeah.
But what was the number? Was it like 67 times?
67 times. And to say hardly, she screwed herself. She didn't even need to, like, volunteer that. She's like, hardly ever. I mean, I feel like a lot of these people are trying to downplay their relationships because they're in this bubble of people that are being accused of something horrible. So everybody doesn't want to necessarily be too associated with anybody else because they don't really know what anybody else may or may not have done. So everybody tries to back away and distance and say things like the one the other day of, I went to school with a person named that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, they're a little bit better than that. And it doesn't, again, those things, they look suspicious, but it doesn't add up to murder conspiracy and having all of these people, because there's so many of them. You'd have to have all of them on the same page within a couple of hours of going, okay, here's our story. Everybody has to stick to it for the next however many years. Because this happened in 2022, and nobody's going to break, nobody's going to crack, nobody's going to say, and nobody's going to, like, everybody's putting their careers on the line here as well. So it would be the most tight conspiracy theory ever, yeah, if this is a conspiracy theory, because this is why conspiracy theories don't work. People talk. And you have no one coming out and saying, oh, yeah, they're all covering this up, but they asked me to say this or that. Nobody's doing that. There's not one person.
Well, that's
person.
The thing, especially today with social media, people recording things, people accidentally saying something. Somebody is going to crack. And right now, nobody has cracked, which tells me, just as a bystander, there's no story there.
That's the thing. There isn't a story there. There isn't necessarily a big story with Karen either, other than she was blackout drunk, backed up, probably hit him, and has no recollection of it. And everybody's afraid that they're going to get the finger pointed at him for everybody's friend being dead. Nobody had intent to kill. It was a horrible accident, very likely. And everybody's really kind of freaked out. Chris Albert, brother to Brian Albert, whose house became the scene of O'Keefe's discovery, described his longstanding acquaintance with Trooper Proctor. He clarified that their interactions were casual, not influenced by the investigation. Chris's testimony revealed that he and his wife did not visit Brian's home the night O'Keefe died, but confirmed their presence earlier in the evening at the Waterfall Bar in Canton with the deceased and Reed. Interestingly, Albert, on a lighter note, mentioning they humorously referred to O'Keefe as Mr. Nebercracker, linking him to the curmudgeoned old character in the animated film Monster House, which I remember watching multiple times over with Harper when she was little. She really liked that one. Did his aversion to people on his lawn. But again, I'm going to play this audio here. The defense of Karen Reed, they're very qualified lawyers, but I feel like they're just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks right now.
Yeah.
Trying to somehow create in this iteration a contentious relationship because a child came onto their lawn. and listen to how it was actually handled. Take a listen to this.
Can you explain for the jury who or what is Nebercracker?
What is Nebercracker?
Yes.
Like the character?
That's what I'm asking.
It's a character in a cartoon called Monster House.
And would you agree with me that Nebercracker in the movie Monster House was this kind of old curmudgeon who didn't want anybody on his lawn, correct?
The character, yes.
He was the get off my lawn guy, correct?
In the movie, yeah.
What was your nickname and your wife Julie's nickname for John O'Keefe?
Mr. Nebercracker.
All right. And your wife Julie actually had John O'Keefe plugged into his contacts as Nebercracker, correct?
Correct.
In fact, you were there one time when Julie showed Karen Reed, her phone to show how John O'Keefe was plugged in as Nebercracker, correct?
I believe so.
And this whole nickname started because of a conflict that Colin Albert had with John O'Keefe.
Correct? Not correct.
John O'Keefe complained to you about things that Colin was doing.
Not correct.
He would tell you that Colin used to throw beer cans or beer bottles in his bushes, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
You can answer that. What's your answer to
that? That is not correct.
John O'Keefe told you that Colin used to flip him off, correct?
Not correct.
And say F you to him?
Never.
Colin used to cut through his yard?
Nope, that was Dylan.
You knew that John didn't like people cutting through his yard, correct?
No, I don't know that to be true.
Okay. So is it your testimony that John O'Keefe invited kids to cut through his lawn all the time?
I don't understand. Is that a question?
It was a question. I guess let me withdraw that and ask this. If John O'Keefe is never cracked, and he's the get off your lawn guy, are you denying that he doesn't like people cutting through his lawn?
Do you want me to, can I explain?
I just asked for an answer to my question. Mr. Lally will get up after I'm done, and I'm sure you can explain whatever you want.
So no, he's not a, no.
All right. Well, you would agree with me that there was a time when John O'Keefe was not home that you and your wife Julie went to his house.
That is correct.
And you entered onto his property, correct?
On his front property, yes.
And you had drinks in your hand.
Correct.
And you thought it would be funny to have a photo taken of you and your wife with drinks in your hand on his property, correct?
Correct.
And you knew it would be funny because you knew it would annoy him, correct?
Objection, Your Honor.
Oh, you can go ahead. Can you answer that?
Yeah, he was actually asking us to watch his house while he was away.
Right, but that doesn't answer my question, which was, he didn't ask you to go onto his property with drinks in your hand and take a photo, correct?
He asked us to watch his property.
Okay, but again, in answer to my question, the answer is no, he did not ask us to go on his property and take pictures of ourselves with drinks in our hand, correct?
Yeah, he didn't ask me to send him a photo.
It's getting annoying, and I think the jurors are going to start feeling it because, yeah, they're good attorneys, but they just keep plowing through everything, and everyone's saying, no, no, no. Isn't it true that you did this? No. Isn't it true that you did that? No. Isn't it true? No.
No.
And I'm sorry, if you have a contentious relationship, you're not going to ask that person to watch your property.
God, no. That's the last thing you'd want to do.
These are friends. These are friends who have a goofy joke going on about the kid being on the lawn. And the audio to that was interesting, too. I don't have it, but it was basically, it goes back to, I believe their kid, ran through the lawn. O'Keefe made a shouted out, like, jokingly, but it was a little, he was like 9 or 10, you know, hey, get off my lawn, kid, thinking that, you know, this is a joke. the kid kind of took it seriously, went and told mom and dad. And then he called, O'Keefe called mom and dad and said, hey, you know, I think he took this wrong. I totally didn't mean to like scare him. I was just trying to joke. What's his favorite candy? He went to the store, bought him candy, went over to his friend's house, gave the kid candy, and just kind of explained and apologized. He didn't mean to scare him. Now, that's not the work of someone who fucking hates their neighbor, or, you know, or the neighbor is wanting to kill O'Keefe.
Yeah, that's the guy who screams, get off my lawn, and really means it, is not bringing you candy. And if he is, you're going to want to throw it out, you know?
Oh, exactly.
You don't go to his house trick-or-treating. You don't step on his lawn, and you avoid his house at all costs. We all have those in our neighborhood.
Yeah. And these are friends. They're joking around with each other. And maybe O'Keefe has a thing for his lawn. There's some people that do, and there's nothing wrong with that. And maybe he didn't like people, but he put up with it, and the friends are just kind of, you know, teasing him about it. That's a normal, healthy relationship. The defense aimed to underline potential conflicts of interest and biases of the testimony provided by the Elberts. They highlighted the frequent contacts between Julie Elbert and Courtney Proctor as possibly undermining the integrity of the investigation. Defense attorney David Unetti focused on exposing these links to challenge the credibility of the testimonies, which are critical to establishing the timeline of events leading to O'Keefe's death. The trial obviously going to continue, and we're going to hear much more from testimony of those involved, and we're also going to get closer to expert witnesses as well here in the next couple of weeks. They got to be careful. That defense attorney for Karen Reed needs to be careful, because he's really approaching the unlikable territory. And sometimes jurors, whether or not they think the person is guilty or not, they will base it on the likability of the attorney. Their decision. I mean, look at what's going on in Daybell right now, and Proctor over there. I mean, just nails on a chalkboard, basically. And I feel like this guy is coming into a small town community, kind of feeling like the big shot lawyer, because he is. And that's not really how this town handles things.
No, I think we're going to get surprised. I mean, honestly, I know we are covering this, but I'm kind of done with it, because it's like, okay, I think we figured out nobody murdered her or him, excuse me. You know, Karen's not the murderer. Why is she the only one being targeted here? And can we just get on with it? That's how I feel.
It likely happened. Was it a murder? Probably not. Did he die? Yeah. But it was likely something far less than murder, a horrible, tragic accident that all these people are going to live in regret for the rest of their life, saying, what if I only did this? What if I only did that?
Yeah.
And that's, all right. We will, of course, have more for you tomorrow as the trial of Karen Reed continues.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.